The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 4. That Time I Almost Killed Ben Franklin. Okay, so by now you know I almost killed Ben Franklin. And I also suppose you just want me to get to the point about how I traveled back to 1752 Philadelphia and almost killed one of our founding fathers. But to fully understand the story, you need to understand my mindset the day after my time-traveling discovery. So, after a disastrous night of bad dancing in front of a new love interest, I came home and I fell asleep to iCarly, and then I woke up late for work and realized not only did I have to go into work because it was a weekday, but that I didn't even have a bike, so I'd either have to walk or Uber. But then I thought, duh, I have a time machine slash teleportation device. I can just instantly appear there on time. So I put in my office's tubes, and then bam, I was suddenly at work. My day at work was fairly normal, and I could go into all the little details, but I don't think any of you care about my mundane adventures at my lousy job, when you can be hearing about colonial America and the lesson I learned. Okay, so anyway, I finish up my stupid day at work, and I get back home, and I take a quick nap because I'm tired, but the nap was too long, and when I awoke, I felt super groggy. Like, you know that type of nap where it's for too long, and then you wake up, and you're all disoriented, and feel like you fell off a cliff? That was the type of nap that I had, so when I awoke, I wasn't feeling up for time traveling. So I went back to bed and woke up the next day and went to work again and yada yada, and then I thought to myself, I have all the time in the world. Why am I even going to work? So I get a good night of sleep and I wake up late, and then I decide, okay, this is the day I go back in time and have an amazing adventure. The only question was, where do I want to go? So I Google historical events, but way too many things come up. So I just asked myself that age-old question, if I could have a conversation with one person throughout human history, who would it be? And the answer was Benjamin Franklin. Now, of course, I wasn't planning on going back in time and almost killing him. But I think once you hear my side of the story, you'll understand that it wasn't really my fault. I mean, can I really be blamed for a tragic accident? Okay. So now I knew I wanted to talk with Ben Franklin, but the next question was, how old of a Ben Franklin did I want to talk to? Do I talk to him after the Revolutionary War? During the Revolutionary War? Before the Revolutionary War? And that's when I realized I didn't really know that much about colonial America other than the Revolutionary War. So I go onto Wiki, and I wind up going down a rabbit hole, and I learn way too much about bifocal glasses, until I finally will myself back to the matter at hand and I realize that Ben Franklin had instituted the Philadelphia Contribution Ship in 1752, the oldest insurance company in America. And since I worked at an insurance company, I thought, oh cool, we can talk about insurance. Don't judge me, what would you talk about with Ben Franklin? So I put in the date for 1752, put in the toots for Philadelphia, and was about to confirm when I realized I can't go dressed how I was. So now, I have to figure out, where can I get an outfit from the 18th century? My first instinct was to go to a local costume shop and simply get a Ben Franklin outfit. But when I get there, they didn't have any, so I have to think of a new idea. So I do some searching, and I find that a local high school is performing 1776. You know, the musical about the signing of the Declaration of Independence with all the founding fathers? If you haven't seen it, you definitely should. Actually, I don't know why I even said that. I've never seen it. I guess I just wanted to seem a little sophisticated. So anyway, I go to the local high school, but when I get there, they say I need a guest pass, but I couldn't get a guest pass because I don't have any kids at the school, so I have to sneak in. So I walk to the back of the high school where I find a chain link fence and I start to climb over it. But I had never actually climbed over a chain link fence before, and I realize it isn't really that easy like all the kids make it look on TV. But I will myself up that fence and then I reach the top and I swing my leg over. But now I'm straddling the top and I know I have to get my other leg over the top of the fence, but I'm scared if I do that I might fall. And now there are teenagers who are standing around watching me hoping I fall. So I finally swing my leg over because I'm too embarrassed to just continue sitting up there. And now I have to climb down, but I freeze again because I look down and I see how far the ground is. I'm like that boy in Jurassic Park. You remember that scene where they're on the electrified fence and Professor Grant pretends to get electrocuted, but then the fence is off so they climb over, but then the fence is about to get electrified again, but the kid is just too afraid to climb down, and then he counts down to jump off but winds up getting electrocuted? Yeah, it's kind of like that except without the electrocution. Just social embarrassment. So I finally make my way down the fence, step by step until I reach the ground, And then I rush through that crowd of teenagers who are now upset I didn't fall, and I hurry over to the theater. So when I get there, I find a bunch of 18th century costumes, and I'm about to put one on when some students come in and they spot me and I have to think quick, so I tell them I'm their new director and I have them run some warm-up drills. Joey and Katie did a fantastic job, and I could definitely see them getting some commercial work in the future. But don't get me started on how lousy Steven was. You know, it was more his attitude than his lack of skill, he just didn't want it as much as the others. Anyway, once I get out of that sticky situation, it was time for me to try on the costume, so I put one on, along with one of those gray barrister wigs. You know, the kind that the British judges used to wear back in the olden days? And possibly even modern times. I mean, I'm not really sure if they still wear them in the UK. I mean, John Cleese was wearing one in A Fish Called Wanda, so I guess they still wear them. Unless the people who made A Fish Called Wanda didn't really do their research and just assumed that they did, and now I have a false sense of the reality of modern UK courtrooms. So there I was, full-on 18th century American garb. I put the date and tudes in for Philadelphia and the watch asked me to confirm. So did I confirm? Yes. Yes, I confirmed. And then I found myself standing in mud, or at least what I had hoped was mud, in the middle of colonial Philadelphia, wearing a kid's costume from a high school play. My first thought of colonial Philadelphia was, wow, this city is really clean and nice. My second thought was, what the hell happened to it? So I start walking through the historic city, and I have this strong urge to take my phone out and just take a picture and post on Instagram, but I didn't. And let that be a lesson to you. If you don't want to get caught while time traveling, one thing to remember is to not take pictures with your iPhone. Because if you do, you'll certainly get caught. Which is probably the worst part about time traveling, because you're going to see a lot of really cool things, but you won't be able to take any pictures of them. And just remember, as many mistakes as I have made, I have never whipped my phone out to take a picture. Never. What? What, you think I'm that irresponsible? Oh, come on. Okay. One time. One measly time I take out my phone to take a picture, but in my defense, I was in ancient Athens and there was this monumental orgy with Socrates that I wanted to remember forever. So I'm walking through the city and I'm thinking, well, this is really cool and all, but I want to hang out with Ben Franklin, but how the hell do I find him? So I spot this guy walking by and I go up to him and I say, sirith, a moment of your timeth if you so pleaseth. Wouldeth you knoweth the whereabouts of one Benjamin Franklin? And the guy looks at me and says something along the lines of, yeah, he works in that building over there. And I say, thanketh you. And then I make my way to this three-story brick building where Ben Franklin is presumably working. And as I get there, I expect there to be some sort of security at the door, you know, or at least for it to be locked. But the door was just all like, come on in. I'm unlocked and trust you won't try to harm anyone inside. So I make my way into the building without any real plan and I start searching for Benjamin Franklin. But I have no idea what he looks like, so I start saying, Ben, anyone seen Ben Franklin? And then a man turns to me and says, how may I help you? And I ask, are you Ben Franklin? And he says, yes, and who the hell are you? And I say, Mr. Franklin, I have been sent by King George II. Thank you, Wiki. And he wants me to tell you what a great job you're doing here. Now, Ben Franklin was a little confused by what I was saying, but if there's one thing I've learned from my travels, it's that if you act with enough confidence, people are more willing to believe you than not. So Ben Franklin shows me around the office building and then offers to let me stay at his house, and I say, great, Ben Franklin, that's really nice of you. And then he asks if I would like to get a beer with him at the local pub first, and I say, just one beer or many, because I'm thirsty. And Ben Franklin laughs, and I laugh too, and then we head to the local pub and drink a few beers. He tells me about the insurance company, and I tell him everything I know about insurance, and he looks at me like I'm some sort of genius, and I'm thinking, holy shit, Ben Franklin is impressed by me. This is amazing. I really wanted to take my phone out and tweet about it, but even if I could, people wouldn't believe me, so it wasn't worth it. Plus, Twitter didn't exist in the 18th century. So Ben and I are getting a little tipsy, and I tell him to lean in. And so he leans in, and I whisper, you think America will ever revolt against Britain? And he looks me dead in the eye, and he says, that would never happen so long as I live. And I'm thinking, oh my God, Benjamin Franklin's a liar. So Ben and I leave the pub, and we're about to walk back to his place when he points to a nearby horse and carriage and says, that's his ride. And by this time, Ben is all wobbly because he is drunk. And so I ask him if he's okay to drive, and he yells at me and calls me a Covent Garden nun, whatever that is, and then hops onto the carriage. So I get on next to him and we start to ride back to his place. Now at this time, it starts to rain and I'm getting scared we're gonna die. But to be perfectly honest, and this is not condoning drinking and carriaging, but let me tell you, that man knew how to drive drunk. Although to be perfectly fair, the horses were sober. So we get back to his house where he introduces me to his lovely wife and snobby sons. And then my heart drops as I see his daughter Lucy. God, what a beauty she was. I mean, sure, she had Benjamin Franklin's chin, but she had an ass that just wouldn't quit. So there I was, having to make the most difficult decision of my life. Do I try to seduce Benjamin Franklin's daughter now? Or do I wait until after dinner? I decided after dinner would be best. So for dinner, we had some sort of stew, and to be perfectly honest, it was a little bland. Now, I'm not trying to rag on his wife, Deborah, but I mean, has she ever heard of pepper? Luckily, I had some hot sauce with me. Yes, I am one of those guys who has the keychain sriracha with me at all times. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did because I don't think I could have finished that meal if it weren't for my hot sauce, which I covertly added to the bland catastrophe that was Mrs. Franklin's stew. So Ben Franklin spends dinner talking about some of the invention ideas he has, but I was so preoccupied with Lucy giving me these little sexy glances across the table that I just couldn't even pay attention to anything he was saying. All I could think was, what's beneath that bonnet? So we finish dinner, and Lucy passes me and quickly whispers, come find me when everyone's asleep. So I'm thinking, hallelujah, let's all get to bed. So Ben shows me the room I'll be staying in, and he says if I need anything during the night to just let him or Deborah know, and I say, thanks, Ben Franklin, that's so kind of you. So then I pretend like I'm gonna go to sleep, but secretly I'm devising a plan to meet up with Lucy because I'm pretty sure at this point of time that I'm desperately in love with her. I mean, sure, Benjamin was a founding father, but I was becoming increasingly more interested in his founding daughter. So I blow out the candle in my room and the whole place goes dark, and my first instinct was to turn on iCarly, but then I quickly remember electricity didn't even exist yet, and certainly not Nickelodeon. God, what a miserable time to live in. So now everyone is fast asleep and I can finally meet up with Lucy, but I have no idea which room she's in. So I creep out of my room and I head to the door next to mine and I gently knock. That's when Ben Franklin answers, and I say, oh, hi, Ben. I was just thirsty. And so he walks me to the kitchen and gets me a glass of water, and then I say, thanks for all of your hospitality. And he says, no problem. Anything for King George II. So I go back to my room and figure, okay, I have to change my strategy. I can't just keep knocking on all the doors trying to find the love of my life. So I decided to sneak out of the house and chuck a pebble at a window and then hide in a bush and wait to see who came to the window. If Lucy appeared, I'd pop out and we would meet up and talk and hopefully do a little bit more if you catch my drift. If you don't catch my drift, I'm talking about having sex. But if I tossed up a pebble and one of her brothers came to the window, then I'd stay hidden and try the next room. So I go outside, but it's still pouring and now I'm drenched and getting muddy and I'm thinking, man, I feel really bad for that kid whose costume I stole and that I should definitely get it dry cleaned before I return it. Then I find a little pebble and I chuck it at a nearby window and I hide behind a bush and I wait to see who appears. Unfortunately, it was one of her brothers and I'm thinking, this is annoying, but at least I'm one window closer to my love. But the guy stands by the window looking out for several minutes, refusing to leave. So there I was, huddled in a bush beside Benjamin Franklin's house in 1752, waiting for his son to go back to sleep so I can meet up with his daughter. Then, after what felt like an eternity, Ben Franklin's son finally goes back to sleep. So I head over to the next window where I chuck another pebble and I hide in the bush and voila, I see Lucy stir. Beautiful, beautiful 18th century Lucy. She lights a lantern and gazes out the window. And that's when I jump out of the bush and wave to my future wife. So I motion for her to come down and she gives me the little wait 1 minute gesture and I'm thinking, this is going to be an incredible story to tell our children one day. You know, how I time traveled back to the 18th century to talk with Ben Franklin, but instead wound up falling in love with his daughter. But then 5 minutes pass and I'm still standing out in the rain and I'm thinking, well, my love's kind of rude keeping me so long. And then 5 more minutes pass until she finally comes down. And on one hand, I'm really happy to see her. But on the other hand, I'm like a little annoyed that she gave me the 1 minute gesture, but then took way too long to come down. But she looks so good that I quickly forgive her. So we head over to the barn because it's dry there and we sit down on the ground beside a bunch of hay and this old kite and I'm thinking, this isn't that comfortable. But there isn't that much about the 18th century that is actually comfortable, so I just forget about it and focus on the matter at hand. So I talk with her and suddenly, I realize that I'm hitting it off with Lucy Franklin. She asks me what King George II is like, and I tell her all these stories about George and me hanging out in London and how he and I once had an adventure in New Delhi. She asks me if I brought back any spices from India, and I say, yeah, you definitely have to try this hot sauce. So I pull out the keys with the little sriracha and I put a dab on my finger and I put it out and she licks it, which was super hot. And she's amazed by the flavor and she gives me this look. You know the look. The look that says, okay, kiss me because you just introduced me to sriracha for the first time. So I drop my keys and I pull her in and I kiss her. My first thought was, holy shit, I'm making out with Benjamin Franklin's daughter. My second thought was, God, her breath is really bad. Did that mean our children would have bad breath, or did they not have toothpaste in the 18th century? I mean, I'm not asking for her to use Crest twice a day, but at least scrub that mouth just a little bit. But because I'm a gentleman, I don't say anything and I continue kissing her and it's getting really hot and steamy. When suddenly, the barn doors open and a furious Ben Franklin appears and I say, it isn't what it looks like! And he calls his daughter a dirty puzzle and me a beard splitter. And I have no idea what that means, but Lucy seemed deeply upset, so I figured it wasn't nice. So Benjamin Franklin, one of America's founding fathers and one of the greatest minds in American history, lunges at my throat and starts to strangle me. My first thought was, so this is what it feels like to get strangled. And my second thought was, I wish I could take a picture because I'm getting strangled by Ben Franklin. I push the old man off of me and figure it's time to head back to the present. So I try to grab my keys, but it somehow got tangled on the top of the kite. And I look up and I see that Ben Franklin is ready to green light the strangling part too. So I jump to my feet and I dodge his attack and I rush out of the barn. But the kite string gets stuck to my shoe and now I'm getting chased by Ben Franklin and apparently flying a kite with my shoe. That's when I slip on some mud. And Ben appears standing above me and he says he's going to kill me. He rips off the kite string from my shoe, and that's when a lightning bolt strikes the kite! And the electricity travels down the rope and zaps Ben Franklin, causing him to fall down, sizzling with smoke. My first thought was, okay, this seems like the time to get away. But my second thought was, I should at least make sure he's alive. So I kneel down and I check his pulse, even though I have no idea what a pulse should feel like. And that's when I notice his face is completely covered in blood, and I'm thinking, well, this guy's definitely dead. But then I spot my keys on the ground next to him and realize that isn't blood, but that the lightning had burst my keychain sriracha and now he was covered in hot sauce. I place my ear against his chest and I hear a heartbeat, and that was enough for me to know he was okay. So I grab my keys and I glance over at Lucy, who's now beside her father, all hysterical, and she tells me she hates me and never wants to see me again. And I say, it's your loss. You just missed out on the best sex of your life. So I run away and I hide behind the barn before I use my time traveling device to come back to the present because I didn't want her seeing me disappear and, you know, tell everyone and alter history in any more ways than I already had. So I get back to the present and I immediately go to Wiki to make sure Ben Franklin didn't die that night. And then I read this article and it turns out that he was fine and that apparently that night with the kite, he discovered electricity. Which was really weird for me to read because before I went back in time, it wasn't until 1791 when Aldous Jeffreys discovered electricity in his lab. So I mean, I think I actually helped out humans on this one because electricity was discovered nearly 40 years earlier, and Benjamin Franklin now looks like more of a genius than ever before. But the lesson I learned traveling back to 1752 Philadelphia is this. If you're gonna try to hook up with one of our founding father's daughters, make sure you do it when he isn't home. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.